A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Daf Lamed, Shabbos 30, pagination, page 59. An amazing Gemara this morning. A question was posed to Rav Tarchum Demin Navi, and he answers first with tremendous agadic, what seems to be off the topic, and then finally he answers the question. And when he does, he answers it in a very backhanded, unusual way. What I'd like to do is learn the highlights of this page, trying to make it a cohesive unit, and see that hopefully we'll be able to show that he wasn't really digressing to other topics, but he was proving a specific point in anticipation of his final answer. So let's begin from approximately the eighth line of the page, at the end of the line where the two dots is. Shol she'ila zu, the following question was posed, le'ilo mi Reb Tanchum d'min Navi, in front of this Reb Tanchum, and the question was, related obviously straight away to Shabbos, Mahu lachabis betzina denura, what would be the rule to extinguish a fire, a lamp, mikama beisha b'Shabbos, in front of a sick person on Shabbos? Person is having trouble sleeping. I want to know, can I extinguish the fire so that he could sleep? A straightforward health related question. A pikuach nefesh, he needs the light out. And this actually is a very common question. Visiting a person in the hospital on Shabbos, sometimes the patient really needs to rest, and there are extra lights on. And it's very nice if you're able to, you ask a non-Jew to turn off the lights. But what happens if a non-Jew is not available? And what happens if the only non-Jew that's available is a nurse, and you don't really want to nudge the nurse, because we have other things to nudge the nurse for that are health-related. And I'm not sure that I want to ask her to turn off the light. What's the rule, bottom line? Are you allowed to turn off a light if you were stuck or not? The question actually in practical halacha gets a little bit more lenient, because most of the lights that we seem to be encountering are fluorescent, which seem to be a little bit more lenient in halacha than the incandescent bulbs with a filament. But in any case, he's asked a simple question. Can I put out the lamp on Shabbos? Posach va'omar. He began as follows, which seems to be off the topic. An Shlomo, you, the great Shlomo, on Chachmasach, on Soch Lusanusach. What happened to all your wisdom? Shlomo is known as the most, the smartest, the most wise person in the world. And Lo Dayach Shadavarecha Sosum Divrei David Avicha. Firstly, you contradicted your father David. El Shadavarecha Sosum Zezeh, and your words also contradict each other. You yourself contradicted yourself. In what principle? So Reb Tanchum explains. David Avicha Omar, your father David said, Lo amesim yahaluluka, dead people can't praise Hashem. In other words, it's not good to be dead. You want to do mitzvahs, you got to be alive. Okay. Ve'at amrit, and you went ahead and said, V'shabeach ani es amesim shekvar mesu, I think that people who are already dead, you know, they're even better. What's he talking about? How can you say such a thing? V'chazarta ve'amarta, and you even yourself said, Ki lekelev chai hu tov, a dog that's alive is better min o'arya yameis than a lion who's dead. Lion is dead, not so good. Better to be alive. Reb Tanchum explains, and the theme of his explanation is that a person whose life is well lived has greatness, and is greater than anybody who's not on that caliber to say that their life, their neshama in this world, was well used. Lo kasha, how does he explain this? Hadik amar David lo amesim yahaluluka, dead people can't praise Hashem. So this is what he means. The olam yasek adam b'torah v'mitzvahs kodem sheyamus. You better involve yourself in Torah and mitzvahs before you die. Shekevin shemes batam min haTorah min haMitzvahs, because you can't do it after you're dead. And that's what David meant. So he doesn't. It's not about superficial dead, alive, dead, alive. That's not what it's about. It's about using your life well for Torah and mitzvahs. And David says you can't do that once you're dead. Great. The end of the line, dropping down about two, Utika Omar Shlomo, and this that Shlomo says, V'shabeyach ani asameisim shekvar meisim, what's he praising dead people for? So, Reb Tanchum explains, because when the Jewish people sinned in the desert, Moshe gets up and he says many prayers, and it's not until he says the words, the end of a line, two lines later, Zechor, when he invoked the merit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who had already passed on, that's when he was answered. So Shlomo says, hey, if Moshe was able to pull it off through the power of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then in certain ways, the dead person is greater. And obviously, it depends how he lived his life. But it has nothing to do with dead and alive. It has to do with specific people that Shlomo was referencing and was saying, this person, even though he's dead, he's greater than any merit invoked of live people. It was only through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that we were able to get through. Davar Acher, another approach, is that a person who's alive makes a legislation, and maybe they'll listen, maybe they won't. Look at the first wide line. Ve'ilu Moshe gozar kama gezeros. Moshe Rabbeinu made many legislations. V'tikin kama takanos. In other words, besides what he brought us through Torah from Hashem, he also legislated specific things like that we should darshan the topic of the day on the day. On Sukkot we should study Sukkot. On Pesach we should study Pesach. People sometimes joke, you know, it's too late. But that's, Moshe said, you should get into it from a Torah perspective, into the halachas of the day. And Moshe's takonos, even though he's dead, his takonos remain. So in a certain way, it depends who you're talking about, but in a certain way, the dead person is greater than the live person. If you're talking about Moshe as the dead person, so the impact of his legislations is greater than any monarch who lives today. Monarch who lives today, there's always a black market. Moshe Rabbeinu made a legislation, and Torah Jewry keeps it steadfastly. That is the approach of Rabbi Tanchum to explain dead people, live people, who's greater? And it all has to do with Torah, mitzvahs, and eternal nature of what impact their lives made in this world. The Gemara continues, we have one final pasuk that Reb Tanchum brought out, was, Ki lekelev chai hu tov, the dog that's alive is greater than the lion who's dead. So we turn the page, and we find out that this is talking about when David HaMelech, Shlomo's father, was nifter. So they had a problem, and the following Shiloh was sent to the Beis Medrash. Shlomo had a problem. He's the new monarch, he's young, and he's trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. You'll look at the Gemara, it's about eight lines down at the end of the line. He sent the following Shiloh to the Beis Medrash. Abba Meis, my father's dead. Umutul Bachamo, and he's lying in the sun. Apparently that's where he fell. Uklavim shall beis abo re'evim. And the other problem I'm dealing with is that the dogs of my father's house are hungry. So the Mefarshim say, because normally the royal banquet had leftovers and they threw it to the dogs. But apparently, because David died, no one had an appetite and they weren't cooking. So what do I do with the klavim? Normally there was no such thing as a pet food aisle in the royal palace. They just gave them the leftovers. but now I have to figure out a menu for them. What am I supposed to do? Mo'ese, what should I do? And it was Shabbos. Shochulei, they sent him the message back. Chatok nevela, cut up a dead carcass for the animals. That you can do. It's not considered muktza, because the carcass is designated for animal use. A dead animal is meant for dogs that are hungry. V'hanech lefnei aklavim, and that you could put in front of the dogs. V'avicha, but regarding your father, you're not allowed to touch. You're not allowed to move. Hanacha lav kikar atinek v'tiltalo, the only way you can move a dead body, it's off limits. What you could do is you could put a non-mukta object, a loaf of bread or a child, on the dead body, and then, as a result of moving the non-mukta object, you're allowed to move the dead body. That's the loophole that we allow to move the dead body. Otherwise, you're not allowed to move a dead body. So he says, so think about it. For the dog, I was able to cut up a dead body, a carcass. And the lion who's dead, my father, I'm not allowed to do without a special loophole. Why, though? What's the reason? I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek. The dog is better than my father. What does he really mean? What's the real reason? The real reason is that his father is the body that housed Hashem's neshama, and therefore it's off limits. And the dog doesn't have that kind of neshama. It has life, it doesn't have a neshama. And therefore, the dog is better than the lion, because the lion has to be respected. It has to be off limits, and I'm not allowed to touch it unless I have a special loophole. So again, at superficial, it sounds like it's the lion is less, mm-hmm. but really it means the lion is greater. It's off limits, right? I'm allowed to touch the table whenever I want, but to touch a Sefer Torah, I have to wash my hands first. It's fine. And regarding the question that you posed, am I allowed to put out the fire for the sick person? So Reb Tanchum says, and hopefully this will go smoothly based on the way we learned the Gemara, ner keruya ner, a fire is called a fire, a light, v'nishmasa shalodem keruya ner, and the neshama of a person is also called a ner, Hashem's ner. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam, the Pasuk says. The neshama of a person is Hashem's ner. Mutav tichove ner shabas of Adam. Better to put out the fire of a human being's kindling, mepnei nero shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to preserve the fire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kindled. In other words, the fire on the table that's annoying the sick person was lit by a human being. Better you should put out the fire of the human being, that physical fire, in order to preserve the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the sick person's neshama. You need to put out the fire of the human being in order to preserve the human life, which is the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very sophisticated logic, but this logic is fascinating because it takes away haughtiness. Because the reason I'm deserving of care is because I am a neshama of Hashem, and so are you. And it takes off all the haughtiness. The reason I'm entitled is because I'm the neshama of Hashem. And what he's answering, partly through his drasha, where he emphasizes that a life well lived is more respected than a person who's just alive, because you're not entitled to the honor because you're just alive. You're entitled to the honor because you are the neshama of Hashem, hopefully doing the right thing. And if you did, then even after the person passes on, like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, you're still greater and your merit can be invoked. We'll have to stop there, but it deserves a chazorah. Yeshe koach, have a great day.